Well, I should tell you that instead of a sermon, you almost got a wedding ceremony. I still had my wedding ceremony from the McGoys' wedding last night pulled up. But so we won't go there. We already done that. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And while you're turning there, I want to say a couple of things, a few housekeeping things. Lynn kind of went over some of this, but I want to just, as a fresh reminder, after church today, here's what we're going to do. If you are, consider yourself a senior adult, and that's a badge of honor, by the way, and I'll let you decide where that starts, maybe in that 80-ish range in there. We would like for you to go ahead and go into the fellowship hall and go be our first in line. You know, we do not honor our seniors often enough in our culture, and we want to do that. We want to do that and have you guys go first. So you guys will go ahead and start. If you have children that are going to participate in the egg hunt, as they said, go out on this sidewalk outside this door over here and just line them up. And I think Carlene will release the beasts to the eggs. I don't know if she's going to blow a whistle or wave a flag or something, but just go ahead and line up, and you'll see the sea of eggs out there, and there'll be plenty for all the kids. And she's going to break that up for the smaller children. We'll have their own little area so that they won't get trampled or anything like that. Okay, so that's going to happen right after church. And then after the egg hunt, and then those families can come and join us in the line for the meal. And then also, I want to make a note. This is kind of a little bit new thing that we're doing with the blue card that Lynn showed you earlier. If you are a visitor with us, we invite you. You know, I know that sometimes you want to fly under the radar and kind of get a feel for the church, and you have our blessing to do that, and we encourage you to just respond however you want to. But we are glad that you're here. And we want to be able to reach out to you if you would like to be reached out to. We're not going to bug you or anything like that. But if you would like us to know who you are and know that you've been here, that blue card in front of your seat there is available for you to fill out, and you can just leave it there in your seat or in the offering plate up here, either one. So just some housekeeping there. Now, Hebrews chapter 12. When I became pastor here 11 and a half years ago, the Lord impress this scripture on my heart for our church. And he has not let go of that for 11 and a half years. So this is kind of, I believe this is God's heart for our church, but it's also what we're going to use as a basis of our message today. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, remember what happened? What do you do when it says therefore? You go back and you see what? It's therefore. He's saying all of this stuff has happened, therefore do something. So what he's just talked about in Hebrews 11, he's talked about the great men and women of the faith and how they have stood firm in their faith, even faith that was not realized. Many of the promises that God had given, the promises he had given Abraham had not come to fruition when Abraham died. So they were still trusting in faith even when they went to be with Jesus. And so that's a lesson for us. So the great men and women of the faith who have stood firm in the faith, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I want to repeat that. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. If that's your prayer this morning, church, say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority, your heart. Transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's sermon is entitled The Last Words of Christ. The Last Words of Christ. Now, I've gone back and I preached this sermon about 4 years ago, and or similar sermon, and I went back and I looked at some famous people who their last words on their dying deathbed some things that were famous quotes that, that people had over the centuries, and I want to just kind of list some of those. Queen Elizabeth I, which is back in the 1603, she said, "All my possessions," now this is the Queen of England, "all my possessions for a moment of time." King Louis XIV in 1715, "Why do you weep?" Talking to the people at his deathbed. "Why do you weep? Did you think I was immortal? Doesn't matter how much stuff we have. Did you know that he who dies with the most stuff still dies? Did you know we're not getting out of this world alive?" I'm not sure we've all realized that, but we're not. Nathan Hale, "I only regret that I have one life to lose for my country." He's getting ready to be executed in 1776. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist doctrine said, or Methodist denomination, said, "The best of it is God is with us," on his last words. George Washington, the father of our nation, "I die hard, but I am not afraid to go." Did you know that George Washington was a strong man of faith? He was a strong man of faith, and he was considered the father of our nation. Now, this is the one that really gets me. P.T. Barnum, which P.T. Barnum in 1891 died, and P.T. Barnum was an extremely wealthy and successful man. Here were his last words. "How were the receipts today at Madison Square Garden?" Last words. Wow. Wow. Have you ever heard someone's last words? I mean, you know, at that point in our journey, the games are over. The games are over. You know, talking about the weather and the Cowboys and our golf score and all of those things are really fairly irrelevant when we know that life is closing, that chapter is closing. I, as a pastor, have had opportunities to hear many people's last words are very close to their last words. Your precious wife, Patty, we lost a precious sister in the Lord this past few months, and I don't know that these were Patty's last words, but I know towards the end of Patty's life, what I heard, Billy and I were up there in the hospital with her, and what we heard was a grateful heart. We went up there and said, "Patty, a lot of people are praying for you, and a lot of people love you," and she just, in tears, she just said how blessed she was to have a husband and a family that loved her, and a church family that loved her. And so there was some of her last words were words of gratitude and blessing. September the 7th, 2000, I was driving down Antley Road, and I saw a big, huge cloud of smoke, and I just want to say, at that moment in time, I was making my transition into ministry, was already doing that. And except for just the question of what laid ahead for me in regards to ministry, life was good. I mean, life was good. That we had not, our family had not really experienced any tragedies. I mean, it was just kind of, we were just rocking along and everything was good. I see this cloud of smoke and I driving on to going somewhere else. And not long after that, I got a phone call from my wife telling me that my brother had been in an accident. I want to show you the source of that smoke. That was a pipeline ruptured out out by the Highway 36, out by the airport, and was a massive explosion. And Jay had been my brother. Jay, I've got a picture of Jay. That's my brother, and Jay had was a police officer in town, and Jay had been caught up in that pipeline blast. And I just want to tell you that life can change in an instant. Life can change in an instant. And Cheryl told me on the phone that Jay had been in this accident, and that he was at Abilene Regional. And I don't even remember how I got there, but I got there as quickly as I could. And I remember walking into the ER. And a friend of Jay's, one of his fellow officers that I actually knew pretty well, greeted me at the door and said, "Jeff, he's really been burned badly." And I said, I just need to see him. I just need to see him. And I walked in and I just, what just came pouring out of my heart was, "I love you. Jay, I love you." It wasn't, you know, I don't remember ever having said that to Jay as an adult. But at that moment, it just came pouring out of my heart. Jay, I love you. And he's in typical big brother fashion, he said, I'm all right. I'm all right. And he was not all right on this side of eternity. And the very last words, they ended up putting Jay, sedating him, because soon he had third-degree burns over 100% of his body. We knew that he would not survive it. And right before they sedated Jay to help with the pain, his last words, tell Mom and Dad and Casey, his daughter, and Susan, his wife, that I love them. The last thing on Jay's mind was the love he had for his family. Today we're going to take a close look at the last seven sentences of Christ. Last words are important. You think Jesus knew that? Jesus knew that. We're going to take this closer look. And you know, in order for Jesus to accomplish what he was set out to accomplish on the cross, he had to remain sin-free. You know, he had so many opportunities for anger and bitterness and hatred and pride, all sorts of things, sin. He had all sorts of opportunity for sin to take root in those final moments. And Satan wanted nothing more than to wreck the purity of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But Jesus remained pure to the very end. He accomplished what he set out to accomplish. And he spoke, and we're going to look at the seven last phrases. He spoke, number one, he spoke words of condonement. Now, I want to say, first of all, I'm not even sure that's a word. But it's a word today. He spoke words of condonement. To condone. The words were, and you find it in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. To condone is to pardon an offender as if the offense never happened. It's not saying, oh, everything, we're going to make pretend like this and everything. No, it's to say, I know this person has sinned against me. I know they have hurt me. And I choose as if the offense never happened. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he's looking down, and he's probably seeing some disciples hiding in the bushes who scattered, scared to death. He's seeing these soldiers who just nailed him on the cross and who just beat him and whipped him to almost death, gambling for his clothes. And the words that come out of his mouth is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now listen to this. Are you listening? Listen. We can't be like Jesus unless we learn to forgive. Hello. Is anybody listening? We can't be like Jesus unless we learn to forgive. You want to be like Jesus? Second thing, Jesus spoke words of compassion. He's got, today you will be with me in paradise, is his response to one thief, and then on the other thief, not so much. We know the scene, that you've got a repentant thief on one side, and you've got this thief with a closed down heart on the other side. One thief is cursing Jesus and mocking him. You're the Son of God? Why can't you get us all down from this cross? Mocking him. He deserved to be on the cross for his sins, for his crimes that he committed. The other thief, in compassion, with a broken and contrite heart, he said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you enter your kingdom. It was that. So we basically have, we have a contrite heart, and we have a closed heart. Now, here's what's hard to hear. Guess what? We're one or the other. We're one of the thieves, because we deserve to be on the cross. Are we contrite in humility? Are we seeking the love and compassion and mercy of Jesus? Or is our heart hardened and closed? Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, he said, I stand at the door and I knock. The door is our heart. He stands at the door and he knocks. And he says, anyone who opens the door and invites me in, I will come in. And I will have fellowship with him. I will eat with him. But guess what? What that also implies. If we don't open the door, Jesus isn't going to kick it in. He's not going to kick it in. Third thing, Jesus spoke words of care. I love this about Jesus because in the midst of it all, he should have been so self-absorbed, but there was nothing self-centered about the cross for Jesus. Nothing self-centered. He, at the very end, he still finds time to be thinking about his mother. His earthly mother who had walked through it all with him. And he looks down at John, his disciple, and he looks down at his mother and he says, Dear woman, behold your son. And to John, he says, John, behold your mother. He's giving guardianship of his mother over to John. He's saying, take care of my mom because I love her. And God, Jesus is a God of compassion and care. He cares about those things. First Peter who had denied that he even knew Christ, here's what, when he came back, into the fold, when he was filled with the Spirit after Jesus was resurrected, he writes in 1 Peter 5:7, he says, Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus cares for you. Fourth thing, Jesus spoke words of companionship. Now, let me explain what I mean by companionship. In words where I'm thirsty. This is a picture of the humanity of Jesus. Just think about this. The Creator, God made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth with parched lips, thirsty, had physical thirst. He, the same one who had described himself as the living water and said, you drink of this water and you'll never thirst again, had allowed himself by his own choice, by his own decision, to be physically without sufficient fluid to even sustain his own broken body. God knows what it feels like to be human. He knows what it feels like to be sick, to thirst, to suffer. For God so loved the world, probably the most famous passage in all of Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God understands the human experience. Jesus understands our physical struggles. Fifth thing, Jesus spoke words of consolation. Now, my God, why have you forsaken me? Are the words from Christ. These words are at the very heart, the very essence of what Christ accomplished on the cross. They are the sole purpose that Jesus came to earth. He spoke these words because he was separated at that moment. He gave us his righteousness and he took upon himself our brokenness. Sin does that. Sin separates. So Christ in that moment, by his own choice, by his intentional decision, Christ took upon himself our sin, and he was forsaken at that moment because the Father had to look away. The Father had to look away from him because he was carrying your sin and my sin. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. God made him who had no sin be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. I've asked someone to assist me this morning. Hey, Connor.
Hey.
Hey, buddy. Come here. What are we doing?
It's a weird.
Yeah? You got to speak Connor. It's a different language. This is Connor Parrish. Have you ever seen a cuter little guy than this guy? If y'all ever get tired of him, I'll take him. You know those two?
They always.
Who is that?
Mammy.
Mammy? Yeah. Yeah. Can I see your hand a minute? Can we hold your hand up? I want everybody to see your hand. You ever seen a hand that precious? Hold it up real high. Let them see it. Can you see it? Mm-hmm. What a beautiful little hand. What do you got up? Yeah.
It's on.
Yeah. Can you imagine the love of a father that would allow a nail to pierce that hand? That sweet little hand. I don't know about you. I don't have that kind of love in me. But God does. God does. Thank you for your help, Connor. You going to be okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for loaning him. Check's in the mail. God knew what was going to happen on the cross. He knew he would have to turn his face from his own son. Jesus knew that there would be that moment that he was separated. So that the question is, why? Why would Jesus subject himself to that? Why would the Father allow that to happen? Not only did he allow it to happen, but orchestrate it. The overwhelming answer is he loves you. And I want so badly, and he wants so badly for you to know that. He loves you. He doesn't care where you've been, what you've done, what's been done to you. He just loves you. Final two things quickly that Jesus spoke on the cross. The sixth thing is he spoke words of completion. It is finished, he said. If we're not careful, we focus too much just on the sorrow and the tragedy of the cross, and we miss the triumph. The end, Jesus knew the end was coming, and he said, mission accomplished. It is finished. I have accomplished what I have set out to do. And with that statement, Christ declared his divinity. He was saying, I am God, and I have the authority to forgive sins, your sins. He declared his power and authority over sin and death itself. 1 Corinthians 15 says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, Jesus spoke words of commitment. Everything had been accomplished. And Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. His task had been completed. He died in complete obedience and trust in the Father. Remember the prayer in the garden the night before he was executed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. yet not my will, but yours be done. Obedience. With this final statement, Christ's task was completed, and the final chapter would be written on Easter morning. And we celebrate that next week. This morning, I want to ask the praise team to just stay where they are for right now. And Arliss, I don't know if you've got a CD for us. I forgot to ask him, but I bet he can find one. I just want to ask you to bow your heads. The Heavenly Father that orchestrated that nail going through His Son's hand loves you. And He just wants, He did it all because He loves you, and He just wants relationship with you. He wants to walk through life with you. He wants to prepare eternal life for you. And so it's a simple process. It's a simple thing we do, but it's a very precious cost. And the process to come to Jesus is very simple. Number one, you just admit you're a sinner. Admit you're a sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not some of us, but all of us. Just like the repentant thief cries out for mercy and just said, Jesus, I deserve to be up here. Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Admit you're a sinner. And then believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sin. The solution for our sin is the blood of Jesus. And then finally, confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's the ABCs of salvation. Admit you're a sinner, believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sin, and confess Him as your Lord and Savior. Father, your word says that there was the joy set before Jesus is why He endured the cross. The joy set before Him was us. The joy set before Him was you and me and our reconciliation to the Father. So if you want to do that, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to do that this morning, if you want to call out to Jesus, ask Him to save you for the very first time this morning, if you'll raise your hand. Perhaps you've asked Jesus in your heart long ago, but man, this world is just hard. It's just hard. And the trials of this world can pull us down. Remember, Jesus said, I thirst. He understands the brokenness, and He understands the humanity of our human experience. So if you just want to say, Jesus, just refresh me. I want to say yes to you again in a brand new way. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Amen. Amen. Jesus, it kind of puts it personal when we see precious little hand of Connor. And we think, man, you cared enough to allow your son to take nails for us. Father, we just We can't imagine, we can't comprehend a love that great. Especially because your word says that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And we just rejoice in that. We are so overwhelmed and undeserving of that. But we receive it. Pierce our heart, Jesus, with as your hands and feet and your heart were pierced. Pierce our hearts with your love. Seal it in us. In Jesus' name, amen. If the praise team would go ahead and come forward as we close today, I've already given an invitation to accept Christ. If the Lord is prompting on you to do something, to make some sort of a decision, don't resist it. I've never met anybody who's come to Jesus that's regretted it, ever. When Jesus comes, he wants us to come to him for abundant life. Is that what we want, church? Do we want abundant life? So let's stand as we close this morning. You can come and visit with me if you'd like for me to pray with you, or if you'd like to accept Christ or talk about our church, anything at all, you can come.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Die for me.
amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. In all I do, I honor you.
Is God good? Go and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him, you endured the cross. Go and tell someone. Be blessed. We are dismissed.
Amazing love, how can it be? My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all.